Some of you may recognize the words to this song. A long time ago, a million years BC, the best things in life were absolutely free, but no one appreciated a sky that was always blue, and no one congratulated a moon that was always new. So it was planned that they would vanish now and then, and you must pay before you get them back again. That's what storms were made for, and you shouldn't be afraid, for every time it rains pennies from heaven. Anybody recognize that old song? Okay, Donna, anybody else? Anyway, this 1930 song goes on to say that one needs to use the pennies from rainstorms to get the simple things in life, like sunshine, moonshine, and flowers. Pretty absurd theory, isn't it? These are the words from this old jazz song that first premiered in a movie by the same name, Pennies from Heaven. The film is all about a singer who's wrongly imprisoned. And he promises a condemned fellow inmate that he will go and help the family that was victimized by his cellmate. The family consisted of a young girl and her elderly grandfather. So the singer gets out of jail, and he dreams of one day becoming a gondolier in Venice. But in the meantime, he's faithful to keep his promise to this cellmate. And he becomes a street singer in order to help the struggling grandfather and granddaughter. The movie was released in 1936 during the Depression. And the movie was meant to convey a message of hope to those thousands and thousands of people who were struggling every day to make it. The song went on to be recorded by quite a number of famous artists. Apparently, the message of the song related well to the American audience of its time. While the theory of the song is crazy, I mean, I've never seen it rain pennies, have you? Wouldn't that be wonderful? Even though it's crazy, it is true what the song says, that the best things in life are absolutely free. That still rings true. In Jesus' day, he saw examples of great love that didn't appear to be worth much to human eyes, but to Jesus, it had great value. One of these examples was this widow who gave two small coins in the offering box at the temple. Quote, in this text from Mark 12, a penny was all that a widow had to live on. One penny. The Greek words used are lepta and kodrantes. Two lepta are coins worth less than a penny in that day and time. In this passage, Jesus is teaching the people in the temple, and as the religious leaders strolled about the courtyards, Jesus used them as a foil. They wore ornate garments, a cultural sign of leisure and dignity. They expected formal public greetings, the first century equivalent of saluting an officer. They always looked for the VIP seating. They expected it. They demanded it. They maintained their status through the financial supports of widows. And they prayed publicly with pomp and eloquence. In short, they were consumed with external abundance, status, and outward appearances. They wanted prominence and deference, and they loved their status in society and the comfort that came with it. In like fashion, Jesus noticed the rich giving their huge offerings in the temple. Clearly, the right hand knew what the left hand was doing because Jesus could tell they were giving large amounts, even from across the room. But then this widow came into the temple and put 2 copper coins in the offering. These coins were nothing compared to the sacks that the rich had offered. But Jesus commended this woman for giving what most of us would not stoop down to pick up off the sidewalk. In fact, the idiom, my 2 cents, probably comes from this story. We say, I'll put my 2 cents in for whatever it's worth. It's ironic that what Jesus taught meant just the opposite of what this idiom means. Putting in our 2 cents worth means that we don't have very much invested, so we might as well give our opinion whether you like it or not. But the woman's 2 cents was far more. Another commentator puts it this way: Mark wants us to see a deeper agenda than money that we're putting in the offering plate. Hence his attention to these comparisons. He wants us to see giving as a barometer of our internal devotion to God and God's kingdom. As a parallel issue, consider Jesus' words on words from Luke 6, verse 45. It is out of the abundance of the heart that the mouth speaks. So how should we apply this then? Avoid slander, yes. Stop profanity, yes. Don't gossip about others, yes. Or also, we can take the time to examine our hearts. Our hearts' broken desires that give rise to such harmful behaviors. If we tend to what's inside the heart, then what comes out of our mouth will surely change. The same thing applies to giving. Giving is simply an external demonstration of the internal virtue or the internal brokenness within. The point here is not necessarily to give more. Maybe we need to give less and provide for the family or radically reduce our personal debt so that we can give more, that we can give long-term and in healthier ways. Maybe we do need to give more and to give more creatively. But those issues are secondary issues, not primary. What Jesus seeks is a transformed heart. Become the widow. As one pastor puts it, change your money and it may change your heart, but change your heart, and it will change the way you use your money. Unquote. One day there was a pastor from Pennsylvania who wanted to go and get some learning to help with the financial situation of the church. So he went to this professional fundraising seminar, and it was particularly for nonprofit organizations. And the flyer promised churches that it would be a totally new approach to stewardship. So the instructor said, quote, forget about the 2 penny widows in your church or the fixed income people. Don't give them a pledge card. Don't include them in your fund drive. They can't give much. So it's a waste of your time to go chase after them for money. What they might give will hardly cover the time and effort you expend in going after them. The instructor continued, if you want to raise funds for your organization, then go after the big fish in your sea. Develop a relationship with the wealthiest people you know. Invite them to serve on your church council. Cultivate their interest in what you're doing. And after all, those who give the most have the greatest capacity to increase their gifts, he taught, unquote. The pastor reflected on that message in relation to the church's leadership. He says, quote, I looked around the table where our church council met. Four widows served as elders that year. None of them had deep pockets or great resources, but each of them made sacrificial gifts to the congregation. So much for the advice of the expert fundraiser from the world outside the church. In here, we have different values. We believe every person has infinite worth. Everybody counts, regardless of who they are, or how much money they have, or how much money they don't have. We can point to the poor widow in Mark 12 and say, her gift mattered because she herself matters. Yes, the church needs money. But more importantly, we are the people of God. And we have trust in God. And as it comes from our heart, God will honor those gifts. 10 years ago, when I came to this church, we were struggling. We still struggle financially. But we have been growing in the number of new people that have been coming, in our diversity. Just look at the, what has it been? How many years have we been doing? 13 years of the giveaway, and 4 or 5 now for the health fair. And we're growing in service as well to our community. This woman is a troubling presence. By giving her 2 tarnished coins, she gives proportionally all that she had. There are many modern-day widows like the one in Mark 12. They're everywhere. But it's good to hear specifics because it helps us see that giving from the heart and even out of poverty, it's still happening every day in the church, in our world. A minister tells a true story about a woman one day who was a guest. She was a visitor. And she had 2 little boys with her, and she came up out of the back of the church one Sunday morning and told the usher, after the service, I need to speak to the pastor. So she told the usher what she wanted. She wanted the pastor to pray for her, and she wanted to give her tithe. And the usher said, well, ma'am, you're not a member of our church. We don't expect you to give us money. And ushers, don't ever say that. I've never heard an usher say that. But she insisted. After the benediction, she was taken up to meet the pastor. She sat in the front pew and she told him, I have just spent the last 3 nights in a battered women's shelter with my sons, and we are going to take the bus to Atlanta. I've already arranged it. There's a shelter where we're going. We're going to stay there. They're going to help me get a job, get back on my feet to provide for my children. But she was leaving her family, her friends, everything behind her to start this new life. She said, I want you to pray for me, Pastor, but I also want to pay my tithe. So she pulled out all the money she had, and she counted out 10%, which amounted to $30.56. The pastor said, no, we can't take this. You need that money to provide for you and your boys. Please take it with you. She said, you don't understand, Pastor. Even if I keep that 10%, I still won't have enough money to provide for me and my boys. I want to give it to God. I trust that God's going to help me get a new life. And to show God I trust him, I want to give my tithe. And she did. Calling the disciples together, Jesus pointed and said, "Look at that widow. Take a good look. She's the kind of person that the world ignores because she has so little. Yet she's the kind of person that Jesus noticed because she gave so much." Perhaps Jesus saw in her something of what he was trying to get across to his followers. Here was a woman who refused to play it safe. And neither did Jesus play it safe. She did not, could not hold anything back from God. And neither would Christ. She gave away what she had. And according to the Gospel of Mark, within a few days of leaving that temple, Jesus would give his life for all of us. "Look at her," Jesus says. "Take a good look." Because her sacrifice is a picture of what you're going to see God do in me. It's not what we give that matters to God. It's where it comes from in our hearts that God wants to see. And when we give from our hearts, from our love for God, from our faith in God, from our dedicated service to God, then truly it's pennies from heaven showered upon the earth to be blessings. Amen.